So I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, both at the State Health Department, and then Gary Hollander Wave, who's with Diverse and Resilient, a community organization with which we collaborate closely, and Diverse and Resilient just celebrated their 15-year anniversary, so yay. I have nothing to disclose. Let's see, I'm going to frame my talk in terms of the core functions and essential services of public health. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this model. So I'll say a couple of things first. Each of the things I'm going to talk about, many of them fit into more than one category, but for simplicity, I'm just putting it in one place. And secondly, the diagram implies through the arrows some directionality that I'm not doing things in that order. So assessment, monitoring health, and diagnosing and investigating. So we have three things. You're going to hear a lot of common themes, which is nice. There are nice synergies in these talks. Data from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey in Wisconsin, the Behavioral Risk Factor Survey, and then some HIV surveillance data. Beginning in 2007, Wisconsin has had the sex of sex partner question. Asking students, have you had sexual contact with males, females, both, or neither? And so analyzing that with the student's sex, we can look at a couple of things. First, I see I have an error there on my pie, but anyway, 9% of students, combining the 2007 and 2009 data, 9% of students, of those who had had sexual contact, had had same-sex sexual contact. So that's for Wisconsin data. And then for Milwaukee, 16%, so about 1 in 6. So those are, you know, big numbers. And then comparing the students with same-sex sexual behavior to those with only opposite-sex sexual behavior, we see disparities, and we've all been talking about that. So for depression, that is, felt sad or hopeless in the last 2 weeks, you can see a huge, you know, 46% compared to 25% of opposite-sex contact students. Suicide attempts in the past year, 1 in 4 of same-sex students compared to 7%. And then smoking more than double. From behavioral risk factor survey data from 2007 and 2008 combined, comparing people who describes themselves as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, 27% were uninsured compared to 11% of heterosexual respondents. And then now we're gonna talk about HIV surveillance data, and here we're looking at prevalence data, and I'll just ask you to kind of come along with me as I ask these questions, just either jot down or answer in your head what you think the answers are. So, and they're probably, in most cases, not that different across states. So if you had 100 residents ages 15 to 59 in Wisconsin, how many would have HIV? So this is the general population. It's less than 1 in 100, about 2 in 1,000. For white men who have sex with men, about between 3 and 6. For Latino MSM, 6 to 12. And then African American MSM? 12 to 16. A 20 to 40. Wow. So you can see here that, you know, both the data are important and then how we present the data in terms of having an effect, we hope. In terms of assurance, we talk about assuring a competent workforce, evaluating, linking, or providing services, or in our case, as the State Health Department, funding services. And then I will tell you that we've not been in the law enforcement business so far. That's the last one. Assurance, in terms of a competent workforce, we have a partnership with the State Health Department and the university for an HIV training center. And there we do some training around cultural competence issues around LGBT health, including a full-day course on working with transgender populations. In terms of funding local agencies, of course, we fund a lot of HIV prevention and care services, but we also have 3 non-LGBT or non-HIV-specific LGBT projects. And we will soon be moving into an area that's new for us, which is a public service campaign addressing homophobia, specifically in communities of color in Milwaukee, really based, coming out of an investigation that we had a collaboration with CDC, and there's been a long planning process actually led by Diverse and Resilient, and one of the pieces is looking at, you know, as we talked about, the sort of social determinants and really looking at big picture stuff. So that's a new and exciting area for us. Also something new, we just launched in the last few months an LGBT health website, and we're excited about that. As far as we know, we're one of a handful of states that have that out of the state health department. It's on the state health department website. That came out of a couple of efforts. We had a team of four graduate students a couple of years ago now, public policy graduate students, that did a bunch of things, one of which was to look at websites of other jurisdictions. And so they just found a few but made some recommendations. And then last summer we had a graduate student in public health who basically spent her summer doing a bunch of things, but the main one was to develop the website. So we launched it in September. So here's the banner, and then here's the website. So you can see on the left-hand side the sort of health areas that you'd expect, alcohol and drug, HIV, mental health, tobacco, and so on. And on the bottom, populations. I don't know if you can read them, but gay and bisexual men, lesbian and bisexual women, transgender, LGBT youth, educators, and service providers. And you can also see the pink box, which is, you know, this is new. So the website is not static. It's changing as things happen. We are fortunate to have had really strong support from all the way from the secretary of the department at the top to the AIDS director to move this forward. So that's been helpful. And we monitor feedback on the site, and by and large, it's been very positive. We have had some feedback about, you know, the language could be better, and so we've done some tweaking, and we've really only had one just awful, hateful remark. So, you know, that's pretty good. Next, in terms of policy development, that's informing, educating, and empowering, mobilizing community partnerships and developing policies. And the mobilizing is really two pieces. It's both within the department, you know, building support within our own department, and then working collaboratively with external networks. Our experience is that when we work with partners within the department, and this is true elsewhere too, but when we talk to tobacco people or mental health people, once we show them the data, they're really jazzed and excited to work in terms of their health area. They may not have known a lot about LGBT populations, but they care about tobacco and they, you know, want to make a difference. Last summer, the state health department released the state version of the 2020 you know, healthy people, the healthiest Wisconsin. Big 250-page document, and here you can see on page 6 a nice quote about intersections of race, gender, and sexual minority status. And the data that I showed you a little bit of, and I'll make a reference to that later, really made it through the document, and a lot of references to addressing sexual minority populations and, you know, social determinants. So that was, you know, that's been a success. Another sort of policy issue that we've had is writing letters to legislators or government people. You know, essentially, we prepare the letter and then we have somebody sign it. So this one was to people at CDC, the person who's on top of the YRBS and the BRFS, urging them to add the sexual minority questions to the core questions so that every state has it. It's not just Wisconsin fighting hard to get this and other places. So this was signed by our division administrator, co-signed again by Gary Hollander. So this sort of showing from our standpoint a community partnership and conveying to you know, to folks at the federal level how important these issues are. So these letters really serve two purposes. One is for the whoever's getting the letter, but as important, I think, is for us to educate our people in the department, because if they're signing a letter, hopefully they're reading it, and so that's important. Earlier I showed you the data from the YRBS and mentioned that was looking at sex of sex partner, not at sexual orientation. Well, I'm happy to announce that we for 2011, we now will have the sexual orientation question. This is a huge coup. Again, Diverse and Resilient has been working on this for a decade. We've been working on it for some time. And we attribute this success to a few things. One is, you know, longtime advocacy in the community for that. Showing the data, that's the data have been very important in sort of getting the attention of the education department. Also, we talked with our colleagues in North Dakota and Illinois, because really nobody cares what happens in Massachusetts. I can just tell you, in Wisconsin, no one cares that they're, you know, that they've been doing that since 1991. So, but people do care that North Dakota added the question, and again, the world didn't blow up. So having conversations with them and reporting back. And then also the department secretary picked up the phone and talked to the superintendent of schools. And that's important too. So although I just announced this here, we're kind of keeping quiet in Wisconsin because we don't want to derail it. I don't know if you know, we just got a new governor, but you know, so. So overall contributors to our success, partnership between state government and community organizations has been really important and successful. High level departmental support, we really appreciate that has helped move us along. You know, funding's always nice, but we have really done quite a bit without it, with some creative staffing and support from the AIDS director, that there are three of us that spend a good third of our time on LGBT health, although we're funded under HIV, so LGBT health beyond HIV. The robust data, and I think, you know, strategically presented and trying to catch people's attention, and then successes both within our jurisdiction and across jurisdictions really do build on each other, so we are, again, grateful to Illinois and to North Dakota and to our colleagues, you know, in other places and within the state and so on. So that's it. So my colleague Chitra Karki will be presenting on Wednesday. If you're still around, I really encourage you. There are a couple of good papers at that session, it looks like. But she'll be talking much more about the data that I presented. I just gave you a little bit. Also, our website, you can just Google Wisconsin LGBT Health and you get there. And then if you have questions, you can email me.